It's happy hour again from Uptown New Orleans at the lovely Collins Hotel. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. In the next 60 minutes, you'll get to meet just how many? One, two, three, four, five of the many thousands of fascinating people who live in New Orleans, and you'll get to hear some live music as well. At the end of the show, you might conclude New Orleans is a great city where people love to talk, have fun, and enjoy great music, but you probably know that already. So let's get right on with doing nothing. But enjoying the next 60 minutes of happy hour together, my very eclectic bunch of guests sitting around the table are a stellar collection of New Orleanians. Tonya Armbruster grew up in Kenner, Louisiana. She graduated from Bonneville High School and UNO, became a photographer, a mom, and an executive at the Girl Scouts of Louisiana before recently founding Southern Babylon. Southern Babylon is dedicated to documenting and promoting the growing burlesque movement in New Orleans. Did you guys know there was a growing burlesque movement in New Orleans?
I did.
Yes, you did. So, and okay.
You do now.
Tonya and Southern Babylon are all about showing us the bits of New Orleans that, quote, aren't in your Frommer's Guide. Things that you won't find on Yelp or Wikipedia will lead you off the beaten path and a little left of center right down to Southern Babylon. Tonya, hey.
Hello.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
Thank you.
Cherry Brown is a graduate of Ashland University in Ashland, Ohio, which is, quote, affiliated with the Brethren Church. Judeo-Christian values are the foundation of the educational and social environment of the university. Unquote. Today, Cherry describes herself as the ninja of nakedness, the samurai of strip, the bodhisattva of burlesque. Cherry is a burlesque performer and model who lives in New Orleans and performs with Glamour Puss, the Storyville Starlets, and Slow Burn Burlesque. Hi, Cherry.
Hello.
How did that college education set you up for a career in burlesque?
Well, it didn't. That's why I came here.
Good move. Tony Dunbar is with us as well. Tony Dunbar is an attorney and writer. Tony is the author of the novels Lucky Man, City of Beads, and others in the series of mystery novels set in New Orleans featuring local lawyer Tubby Dubonnet. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah.
Tubby? I got Tubby right. Tony's novels have been nominated for both the Arthur Conan Doyle and Edgar Allan Poe Awards. On the more serious side, Tony is the Lillian Smith Book Award-winning author of books about the South, civil rights, and protest, including Mississippi, Our Land 2, Hard Traveling, Migrant Farm Workers in America, and Against the Grain, Southern Radicals and Prophets. Tony, you're like a sort of token intellectual around here.
Well, I'm just trying for the day.
Just for an hour. Can you be smart for an hour?
I could try.
Okay, cool. And our band today are collectively known as Marta. Individually, they are Adam Del Negro, Travis Stewart, and Jonathan Talbot. Marta is made up of past members of Supergroup, Dallas and Denver, Bastard Son of a Bastard, and 12 Gauge Valentine. Marta's debut record just came out a couple of months ago. It's called Alone Against Tomorrow. It's a beautifully crafted album of sophisticated melodies, poetic lyrics, and superior musicianship. Did you know that, by the way?
I was unfamiliar.
Yeah. You're unfamiliar with that?
Yeah. Well,
that's true. The Kinks. Happy Hour's relationship with Marta goes all the way back to earlier today when we became your second follower on Twitter. So you're not using a lot of Twitter. Mitch Foreman, who's our piano player, is not here today. So we just listened to his recorded version of our Happy Hour theme. Well, you're welcome to Happy Hour. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
How come? Let's start off with Twitter, shall we, Travis?
We're pretty new to
come in.
We're pretty new to all that. I don't really even know what Twitter,
is. Isn't that a shame? Because aren't you the band's manager and booking agent?
We am all the booking agent.
Yeah. We am all.
We
am all the booking agent. Is that what it says?
Yes.
I thought it specifically nominated you as the contact
person.
I've
been booking and everything, but it's through Facebook and the website and everything. So
what do you even have a Twitter account for?
I have no idea.
Really?
I was told that we were supposed to have one.
Who told you that?
Our drummer.
It's always the drummers.
Well, there you go. That could be the best sentence I've ever heard, actually, in a whole interview about music. So you're taking management advice from the drummer and opening a Twitter account, and he doesn't do it. He told you to open the account, but why doesn't he then?
I don't know. I think he should, because he's kind of taken on Facebook for us. So
he has? He's done a good job with that. That's a good photo of you all on Facebook, and I think it's relatively up-to-date, isn't it?
Relatively, yeah.
Have to lean in there.
Sorry. You can thank Aubrey Edwards for that photo.
Aubrey Edwards is the photographer.
She's a local photographer that's really good. So
Tonya is a photographer as well.
Yes, I am.
How did you start out taking photos when you were...
Oh, gosh. I started taking photos when you were still in the darkroom developing your own negatives.
When I was, or you were.
I'm old.
When you say I was not in the darkroom, was I?
No.
Okay, just checking.
But I was.
You were in the darkroom.
Yes. And so many, many years ago.
That was a long time ago now.
It was.
Now, we don't have a darkroom anymore. Did you do those things on, like, tin? When they put the piece of tin in the back of the giant box camera?
Or no,
you came along after that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A little bit past that, but no. Yeah, I learned, like, when I was in junior high, doing photography.
In Kenner.
Negatives in the darkroom.
This was in Kenner.
I went to junior high at Adams in Metairie.
You did?
Local gal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had a dark room there, so they must have had some money.
It was part of the GT program.
Why are you embarrassed about that? I don't know what the GT is. It's a car.
It's the Gifted and Talented program.
Gifted and Talented. So yeah. It's not even G and T, it should be.
It's GT. Yeah.
GT, Gifted, Talented.
Yeah.
Which one were you?
Uber nerds. Both.
You were gifted and talented.
Yeah.
And did you sort of peak early, or are you still gifted and talented?
Yeah, I'm way past my prime now. No. I guess I'm still there.
Did that end up being true, though? Did you end up being a gifted and talented adult as well as a gifted and talented child? Seriously, for a minute.
I do believe so. I mean, the whole program is to, because generally kids that have a higher IQ get bored in class, and so the whole program is designed to kind of give you something else to focus on, to kind of
not boys.
Play with that part of your brain. And you're right. Not, well, come on, let's be real. Of course, boys are going to be on the brain, at least for girls.
What age does that start with girls? When do girls start thinking about boys?
I had my first crush when I was in second grade.
Well, that's like six.
He was a whole year older. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's an older man.
What was his name?
Shawn Michael Piku. It's so sad that I remember this.
Is it really sad?
It's sad. I was seven. Come on.
Oh, so you were seven. Well, that's not bad. I thought you were only six. Shawn Michael Piku. That's a nice name. Does he still call himself that? Or?
I have no idea. Don't know where he is.
Well,
but if you're out there, Sean.
I was going to say, I know you guys don't know anything about the internet, but someone look that up. Someone Google Shawn Michael Piku. P-I-C-O-U-T.
P-E-C-O-U. Oh, my gosh.
P-E-C-O-U. That's unusual. No, you're not blushing at all, actually. Should you be? Are you embarrassed about that?
Yeah, I shouldn't remember this
stuff. Tell the truth now. How could you not have Googled your ex-boyfriend all these years? You never did. Google Shawn Michael Peake. Look him up on Facebook.
No, I really should, though, shouldn't I?
Well, you should do it right now. Chris, can we do that?
Ready, start?
Shawn Michael Peake. It's S-H-A-W-N, and the last name's P-E-C-O-U.
I bet he's still... Okay, let's see. We'll find out. Well, Tubby Dubonnet could track him down, right, Tony?
Yes.
Oh, Tubby has assistants. He has a detective force that he could bring to the case. And
people that do that for him.
Yeah, he's got people.
What does he look like, Tubby?
Oh, Tubby's not fat. That's the first thing you should know. He's he's 40 something, but he's a big guy. He played football in high school. He's just a big guy, but he dresses up pretty well.
Do people have nicknames? I know sometimes people have nicknames that are the opposite of their appearance. Like a big guy will be called Shorty, for example. Is Tubby skinny or is he called Tubby?
No,
why is he called Tubby? I guess I could have read some of these books. How many are there?
There are seven.
Seven.
The last one being Tubby Meets Katrina.
Right. Which is
about Katrina.
About Hurricane Katrina.
He's a divorced father of three, uptown lawyer, has his office downtown in the Place Palais building in the 42nd floor where you can see the Mississippi River and the French Quarter.
Where's your lawyer's office as a lawyer?
I'm downtown these days too.
What office?
But not nearly so tall as he is.
What floor are you on?
I'm only on the 26th floor.
That's pretty high. So, I've never been 26 floors up. Have you, Cherry?
I've been 26. Well, I went to New York, went to the Empire State Building, so I guess I was way higher.
Much higher.
But in New Orleans, though, it's hard to get up.
But in New Orleans, yeah, it's pretty.
I don't know if I've been 20.
It's pretty hard to get up in New
Orleans.
That's high. That high.
You guys been that high?
I'm usually just on the floor. So.
What floor?
This floor.
This floor. You're just the ground floor guy. Yeah. So, what building is your office in, Tony?
Well, my office is in the Place St. Charles building,
right,
which has some similarities to where Tubby's office is. That's one of the poles of his universe. The other pole would be where he lives uptown. And
do you live uptown?
I do.
So
in the middle are the Irish Channel bars where he drinks. In fact, he owns an Irish Channel bar, which I don't. So there you go.
You could aspire to that, though. Would you like to own an Irish Channel bar? Which one would you own?
Well, there was a time when I might have, but the first book begins at Grits. So
well, that's not
Grits
the
has a noble history.
But that's not on the Irish Channel. Grits, it's
no,
like
it's
up,
not.
That's
it's
uptown.
I actually work directly across the street from Grits.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
what
that's
do you, you work there now?
Yes.
Even as we speak, Adam, what do you do there?
I make furniture for a local designer named Matthew Holdren.
Well, that's what you've been doing today before you came to the show.
Yes, that is why I look the way I do.
You look charming. Your pants are all covered in, what is that? I guess, hopefully that's...
That would be wood glue and polyurethane.
Well, thank God that's all it is. I was concerned. What do you do to stick bits of wood together?
That's about it.
Yeah. Hey, Trish is here. All right. Thanks. Our producer Trish is here, so that's exciting. You stick bits of wood together, and what's up with that? How do you know how to do that? Did you go to school for that?
No, I didn't. I dropped out of school for that.
Which school did you drop out of?
Elementary school.
Really? You only went as far as elementary school?
Yeah, I never went to high school or middle school.
You never went to high school?
You didn't go to middle school?
No.
Good Lord.
Were you homeschooled?
You at least dropped out in sixth grade or something.
That's great.
I homeschooled for 2 years. So
whose idea? Was that your mom's idea?
That was my idea. I was very big into snowboarding when I was a kid. So that
in New Orleans?
I'm from Vermont originally.
Thank God for that. I was worried about your mental health even more than your parents. That's right. So you're into snowboarding in Vermont, and your mom let you stay home all day?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that sounds cool.
How
did you pull that off? But you weren't able to get out of elementary school, though, which is...
Yeah, no, I tried. It didn't work.
What do you mean? You're too stupid to graduate from elementary school in Vermont?
No.
Schools are much tougher in the north than they are.
They're pretty hardcore in the north.
It's true, then.
Yeah.
Well, you should have come down here a lot earlier.
Yeah. Unfortunately...
You could totally graduate from...
I wasn't going to walk, so...
What really... No, seriously... Well, there's no point in being serious, I suppose. Just forget that question. What did you do at home all day? Did you actually study or just go snowboarding with mom?
No, I just went snowboarding. Yeah, I'd walk to the mountain and go snowboarding.
How far away was the mountain?
About 10 miles.
Well, that's
You'd walk 10 miles?
Yeah, people
and then
would
snowboard.
Pick me up. Very small town.
You were a kid.
Wow.
How old were you?
I would have been 13.
You're walking 10 miles every day to go snowboarding all day and then walk 10 miles home.
Yeah.
Isn't that... That's got to be worth something. Isn't there a course? You know, isn't there some sort of course in school that would qualify?
It's a degree
Travis?
From Goddard right there.
Master's, perhaps.
Yeah, there's a gold sticker involved in there somewhere.
Really? Okay, so you dropped out of elementary school. I mean, you never went to high school at all, so you have no idea what high school is like. Have you ever lain awake at night wondering what would high school be like?
I had in the past, but yeah.
You're over it?
I think I'm okay.
High school is such a big deal in this country, though, isn't it?
It is.
You know?
I didn't go to high school either, so...
Travis, come on, come here.
No, I dropped out in the ninth grade, and the school I went to was on an organic farm, and
Jesus,
I sat on bean bags and smoked grass with my teachers and called them by their first name. So, I mean, that was the only prom that I never went to was going to be a punk rock prom, but we couldn't get it together, so...
Because you all were too high.
Yeah, we were far too high.
What state are we in? I mean,
this was in Eagle, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
School is called Upatinas.
Upatinas.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This is a whole new novel. Are you taking notes?
I like all of
this.
It was the original school was a house on a hill behind a train station, and the woman who owned its name was Tina. And Chubby Checker would go and like hang out and get stoned with everybody, and I don't know. That's how the school started.
Is Upatinas like connected to Tipatinas?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's an education in and of itself.
That's your new book.
Yeah.
But you hung out with Chubby Checker as a kid?
I never
smoking
did, but
weed?
The elders of the school.
How old did you have to be to
the elders
weed
of the
Chubby
commune?
Yeah.
Oh, with Chubby? I don't know. I'm sure there were children smoking pot with Chubby. I mean, he had been a junkie and everything. And
Chubby is a wacky name, but Chubby, that's a stupid name, isn't it? And you think about that. I mean, Chubby Checker, you just get so used to saying that, and you can see that guy, and he's a star.
Just going to say, he wasn't a very large man, but...
But he was called, nonetheless.
Yeah, nickname was hidden somewhere in there.
Chubby was kind of chubby. Is that what you're
saying? Around.
In certain areas.
Yeah. I'm sure Tina knew all about it.
So how did you two guys drift down to New Orleans with this background of yours?
I was moving to San Francisco.
This is Travis.
And,
now, Travis, what do you do in the band?
I'm a guitar player.
Mm-hmm. So you have some skill.
I guess.
Did
I
you
know.
Play?
I can remember things sometimes.
Wait till you guys hear the music that these guys can play. You get the whole wrong impression thinking these guys are a couple of morons who dropped out of elementary school. It's like, wait till you hear how they can play music. It's they really are amazing. Your band really is incredible.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Really? I mean, serious. Wait till you guys hear this. Anyway, so how did you drift? You drifted down here because how, Travis?
I was moving to San Francisco and...
this is a different direction, but similar.
Yeah, I had already lived on the West Coast in Portland and in L.A., and I got there, and I had been through here on the way out, and I just didn't really dig it that much. Coming from Philadelphia, I would have much rather had lived in New York than San Francisco.
I'm pretty lost geographically by this.
we're on the way from Portland to L.A.
No, we're on the way from Philadelphia to L.A., but... Or no, Philadelphia to San Francisco. Sorry.
How would you go all the way to New Orleans to get to San Francisco from Philadelphia, other than having a very cheap flight on Southwest?
No, it was a road trip. My girlfriend and I drove for 3 weeks all over the country.
Who was the navigator? I guess you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said, let's just go to New Orleans first, and then we'll...
No, she wanted to come to New Orleans.
And she's still here?
She is still here, yeah.
Are you still together?
Kind of.
That's pretty good. Do you know Sean Michael Piku?
I don't. Yeah.
You know, that's on air.
Chris,
right,
did we find, I know, did we find Sean Michael? He's not on Facebook?
I'm sure that'll be finalized.
He's not there.
Yeah, we just finalized that.
Chris, well, sorry, I wasn't listening. You finalized
nothing.
What?
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. I didn't miss anything, Adam,
no,
at all?
No, okay.
So, Adam, what do you do in the band?
I play guitar and I sing.
So are you going to sing something right now? Let's do it.
Yeah?
What do you think? I think these guys need to know what's going on because they're getting the whole wrong impression about you now. They think you're...
Do you want to play a song from the album or do you want us to play...
Well, you can play anything you want. It's totally, you know.
No, this is all acoustic. You just sing right now.
Yeah, I'm going to play a song off the record as well in a little while. But right now, let's just play something acoustic. We've got guitars lying around here.
All right, okay. Let's do that.
And we've got John over here as well. Is John? Oh, you're not playing, John. You're just hanging.
Yeah,
you're like the tech.
Yeah. He's moral support.
Okay.
He's the silent type.
So what are you thinking of playing? I'm going to move these mics around a little tiny bit. What are you thinking of? Well, not what thinking of playing, but what are you going to play, in fact?
Castanet. Yeah.
Adam, come and tell me.
Yes. This is a song called Castanet that is on the album, but doesn't sound anything similar to the way we're going to do it, I would think.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay. Who wrote this?
We all did.
So you learned how to write, then?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, I have a tape recorder where I just, you know, say what I'd like to, you know, be said, and that's it.
Do you actually write stuff down, seriously, as a songwriter?
Yes, yes.
You end up writing it down?
Yes.
Okay. In Braille? Or just regular English? Okay, so let's take a listen to Castanet. I'm just going to move that around here so we get that, and then I'm going to move this mic over here, and it's all yours. Oh.
Sorry, no problem. The vocals tend to get a bit loud, so hopefully it doesn't drown too much out. Ready? Yeah. And you cast a net to catch all your regrets, which you call the castaway, while the trophies watched and wept. You kept them on the shelf. You just couldn't help yourself. Maybe you'd have you someday when you cast the cast away, away. And you called his name aloud instead of mine, but I'm not too proud to say that it'll be alright alone again. And you say you'd take a bullet for me. That's alright, I'll take a bullet for myself, and that is I wish
that is amazing. Adam, Travis, that's a great advertisement for lack of education. If you ever needed one, isn't it? Were you guys surprised when you saw that happen?
Very.
Isn't that shocking?
Yes.
Congratulations. That is amazing. So when Adam went on this journey from Vermont to here through childhood and staying at home and snowboarding instead of getting education, did you find out you could sing like that?
About a year ago.
What was the incident that suddenly made you discover your voice?
I guess it would have been 2 or 3 years ago. I was in a couple of bands for, I guess, the past 10 years, just playing guitar, and they all kind of fell through. So at some point, I didn't have anybody to play music with, and I decided to sing and write my own stuff.
Just because everything else fell apart?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I've always played music since I was, 3 years old. So if nobody was around, I would play anyway, and I figured why not write some songs instead of just writing classical guitar pieces, which I used to do. So
really? You learned to play classical guitar somewhere
else? I'm not classically trained, but I used to finger pick.
So if you ever had an IQ test, you could be as well. What was it called? ANT?
GT.
GT. Gifted. You could be GT as well.
You could be a total GT kid.
You must be.
Yeah.
You taught yourself to play classical guitar and suddenly discovered a year ago that you had an amazing singing voice.
Three years ago?
3 years ago.
Well, you're not so good at counting.
Yeah. Yeah. So math is not... Well, although music is based on equations, I suppose, so...
I guess it's mathematical, the musical scale somewhere along the line.
That's only if you know what you're doing.
So. The album is called Alone Against Tomorrow?
Yes.
And that song's called Castanet. Who wrote the lyrics? Because it didn't have anything to do with a castanet, by the way.
I did. It's kind of a... play on words.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, you're a writer. What was the play on words, please?
I didn't get it. I got the violence against myself, but I was trying to put the... I didn't
okay.
Get it.
That was the opening line is, you cast a net.
Okay.
So, I caught that.
So you're not, you caught, but you're GT.
Yeah, I got that.
I thought you were addressing the whole song to a castanet. You
no.
cast a net.
Yeah.
But what you are... You cast a net.
Yeah, no. The song is I had a bad relationship with castanets, and so I'm talking.
You feel like killing one? I'll take a bullet for you. That's a pretty great lyric, actually. I thought, didn't you think, you guys? As a writer, Tony, what did you think? It was
I like the whole
pretty
thing.
Poetic.
A lot of talent. It's always amazing how people can just sit here and it just comes out like that. So thank you. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you very
much. No matter how talented you might be, you can't just pick up a guitar and do that. You have to sit and write a whole damn novel.
Yeah.
Which, how long does that take?
Like months.
Yeah,
months.
It must be. How long does it take you once you sit down with an idea to write a novel?
Well, the tubby things are 6 months, right? I can knock those
quick.
Out fairly quick, right? Well, they're not the deepest thing. They're not Tolstoy. But, about 6 months. I can do a short story in a week.
Right. But that still requires then someone has to publish it and
all these
other things.
It takes a while.
Just pick up a guitar and sing, you could...
Just write a song. How long does it take?
I don't know. How long does it
actually,
take?
Actually, that album took us about 3 years to write. So.
Oh, wow.
There you go. That might be something to do with why it's so good. We're going to play a song off the album in a little while. Cherry, how did you get to... I mean, we have to ask at this point now, given that you're a burlesque dancer... I mean, this is probably a stupid question, but I guess people are asking it all the time. Oh, Jesus, sorry about that. What is burlesque exactly?
Burlesque basically is the art of the striptease. It's not about getting down to stripping. It's about the journey of getting there. The tease of the stockings, the tease of the pulling of the gloves. You don't really ever show anything. You have pasties on, so you're covered here, and you always have panties on.
So you're pointing at your breasts and your between your legs while you say this. Just...
And
It's a
very visual art form. I cannot show you on the radio. I mean, they could play a song, and you guys could. I don't know.
So it's you could dance.
Yeah, I could dance.
So it's not stripping. That's what you're saying.
No, I mean you can. I mean, some people do call themselves strippers when they do burlesque, but it is a performance art because it's you choreograph routines. There's no pole involved. You know,
well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
But it's different.
It's different. It's pole dancers are sometimes they lead into burlesque, but usually they're like the physically like really strong dancers that can like balance themselves with one hand while holding onto the pole, like, and that kind of stuff. Not what you see in the strip clubs down here, especially.
Do you go and see many?
I've seen several. Yeah, I've seen several.
I guess you have to. It's part of a job requirement.
But yeah, it's the art of the striptease. It's the teasing part that's different with big feathered fans like Sally Rand, who was this famous burlesque dancer from back in the day. She did a fan dance where she was completely naked, but she had these giant feathered fans covering her, and you never saw anything. But it was the fact that she was teasing you with the fact that she was naked underneath these giant fans was what keep people coming back.
I noticed on your Facebook page it says, it's, you know, have they had this favorite quotations? One of yours is...
Are you stalking my page?
Well, yeah. Sex appeal, it's public information. Sex appeal is 50% what you've got and 50% what people think you've got.
Exactly. It's all about the tease. It's about what's coming next. It's about what you're hiding underneath. Even if you're just peeling off a glove, it becomes this erotic surprise of your hand being completely naked. And some people don't think of it that way, but it actually does build, because once the glove comes off, well, then the stockings are going to come off, and then the garter belt's going to come off, and then the dress is going to come off, and you get down to the finite parts of it. But it's one of those things of just like right before the bra comes off, somebody might hide themselves with a boa or something like that, or, you know, have pasties on. Like, you never see all of it, right. And it's that want and need of the tease and the journey of getting there.
Building the anticipation.
Yeah. You have a university education. You didn't drop out of elementary school, right?
No, I didn't drop out of elementary school. So I did drop out of college.
You did? So you didn't finish this?
I did not finish.
Judeo-Christian.
I went to college. I got a full ride scholarship there, which is the reason I went.
A scholarship from just being smart?
Yeah.
Not for stripping scholarship.
No. And so I grew up in Ohio, in the Midwest, in the middle of nowhere. And
You're intelligent enough to have got into school. So supposedly you were smart enough to have graduated if you'd wanted to.
If I wanted to, I could. I decided to move down here because I always wanted to live here. And then I fell into burlesque, and that is where I'm now.
Well, that's why I was getting at that. Presumably you're smart enough to do pretty much anything you want to do.
Yeah.
What is it that attracts you to taking your clothes off like this, even if... It's
an amazing empowerment, and there's so much more to do as well. Like, I also stage manage the productions for the Florida Tease Burlesque Review and Slow Burn Burlesque down here. And, you know, I perform regularly almost now 3 times a week. Every week we have shows. And also there's a business aspect of costuming, because you make your own costumes. You learn how to sew. You make your own pasties and learn how to make different special costumes.
Make your own pasties.
Yeah, yeah. You make your own.
What are they made out of?
Usually it's made out of buckram.
What's that?
It's a kind of material. It's kind of like a crisscross, hard, meshy material. It's kind of like as stiff as cardboard type stuff. And then you can put like fabric or sequins or rhinestones and stuff like that on them.
Tassels.
And that sticks on your nipple?
Yes, yes.
How does it stick on? What do you use?
People use all different things. Everyone has a different way of putting it on.
Super glue?
Thumbtack? Pretty much. I use top stick, which is men's toupee tape. It's the double.
Same year there was a men's toupee tape.
It's called top stick, and it's double-sided sticky tape. Yeah, and it's thin, it's clear, so you just put it on the back and it sticks. But some people use spirit gum, which, you know, like makeup artists use to put on prosthetics. Some people use Fabri-Tac. Some people use all different kinds of like glues, like sticky, like adhesive glues that you would use for prosthetics can also be used for your pasties. But I use the tape because it's easy to peel off of the backing and it doesn't ruin the pasty as well.
So presumably this is a trial and error.
It's a trial and error.
Have you had any errors?
I started out, a lot of people use liquid latex, which is like eyelash glue and something like that. Like, it's liquid latex, it's sticky. And that didn't work out really well for me. And so far, the top stick was the other thing I chose, and it's worked out really well. But the costuming, you know, is a big business, especially down here, because I don't only just make costumes for my burlesque career, but I make it for other burlesque dancers in the city and in different states, as well as Mardi Gras and Halloween and all that kind of stuff, too.
Well, you could have a full-time... So this is your full-time...
This is my full...
This is all you do?
This is all I do.
That's exciting, mm-hmm. that you can make a living out of being a burlesque dancer and so on.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, are you on a diet or anything?
Me? I am not on a diet at all.
So you'd be allowed to eat some of this food that they just brought us here?
Yeah, I would be able to eat some of this food.
What about it? You guys, we got some food from Juan's Flying Burrito down in the Lower Garden District there.
You scared me there for a minute. You never ask a woman if she's on a diet.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, really?
I like this plug. This is great.
Nice segue.
I was trying to, you know, get into this sort of subject of food here. We're lucky enough to have Juan's Flying Burrito send us down some food for the show.
Thank you, Juan.
There's two locations of Juan's. Which one do you guys go to? The one on South Carrollton or the one on Magazine Street? South Carrollton, Tony, you go to that? That's where Tubby would go as well.
I don't think Tubby's had a burrito this month, but we'll send him there.
Mostly he likes burritos. Well, we don't have burritos here. We have red chili chicken and goat cheese quesadilla. How about that? With creamy cucumber salsa.
Oh.
Everybody wonders how I know all this. It's because I'm a waiter there when I get off here. Here, look, we have to just try these. Here, what are these? Are these the... We have no napkins or nothing. Is the
sure
do we have napkins? Oh, we do, Chris. Thank you. Here, help yourself.
Quick, the napkins.
Hang on. There's tons more. What's in here?
Oddly enough, Jonathan.
Wow. That would be labeled.
Our bass player is a cook at Juan's. So.
And he's here today.
Yes, and I used to cook there.
You did?
I will not be partaking. Because it's bad, but because I ate way too much of it.
You've eaten a lot of this over the years. And Jonathan, you're a cook there currently?
Yes.
Which one do you come over? Come and talk into one of these microphones. Which one do you cook at?
The Lower Garden.
The Lower Garden District one. That's the one I go to. And did you cook any of this stuff? Take a look. Has your thumbprint on it?
No, I was off today.
Taste it.
You've been off all day, so I hope it's fresh.
All of the ingredients are very fresh.
Well, can you tell us something about these things?
This is the shrimp waha.
This is the waha shrimp
and this
waha.
This is the chicken waha.
Chicken waha
chicken
raw.
Waha.
What does waha mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is a trendy
waha.
Word.
Waha.
Wow.
It's actually a joke because they're really obnoxious to make, so it's kind of people laugh. Waha, it's funny. Yeah.
Okay, so we have to try some of this. Okay, so I can tell you a little bit about it, actually, if you'd like to know. It's a flour tortilla stuffed with jack cheddar and goat cheese, grilled chicken breast, spinach, salsa fresca, and chili lime. Oh, no. What is that, adobo sauce?
Yes.
That's a wacky word right there, too, adobo sauce. What is that? Served with a cucumber and sour cream salsa. It's nice. Is anyone tasting it?
Mm-hmm.
The Waha roll is $8.95, and the shrimp Waha roll is $9.95. It says on the back here, but we didn't pay anything for this, I don't think, did we? Anyone know? Tony, try that.
Yes. Well, it looks wonderful, but after I leave here, I'm going to Rock the Casa, which has food from Commanders and some other very nice
people. Grill them on.
Commander's
and
Palace.
You all are quite welcome to come, but I have to save a little room.
Well, I can try. You can try one little bit, right?
They look wonderful. Just fantastic.
Come on. Okay. So listen, while we eat this, we're going to take a listen to a song off the old Malone Against Tomorrow.
Okay.
What song would you like us to listen to, gentlemen?
See ya.
And then we're talking about photographing,
I think,
naked women.
And I will be dancing to this song.
Okay. That would be great.
Well, okay, then.
I'll narrate.
Okay.
Thank
you very much, Adam. So we're going to come back and talk about photographing naked women,
okay,
Tony, in just a minute. But first we're going to listen to a song off Alone Against Tomorrow by Marta. Which song is it going to be?
I believe it's Fantasy, which is kind of the most well-rounded of our songs. It kind of incorporates a lot of what we do, and we recently made a video to it, so that's up on the internet if anybody would like to look. Madaband.com if anyone's interested. But yeah.
M-A-D-A.
M-A-D-A.
M for mommy.
Yes.
Not Nada as in the Spanish.
We thought of telling you an acronym for what the band stands for, but we also
decided against it.
Yeah.
You decided against it.
Yeah.
Well, we could come up with it because we have an actual novelist. So while the song's playing, Tony, come up with five different possibilities for what the acronym Mada could stand.
How long is the song?
I believe it's around 4 minutes.
Ooh, that's pressure.
So you've got to come up with an acronym explanation for every minute. And then you still have 35 seconds over.
Ready, go.
Okay, let's take a listen to Fantasy from Marta.
Yeah.
fantasy from Marta. Okay, how did you like that? I see you guys weren't actually listening to that. I guess you've heard that a few times already.
Yeah, we're slightly spent on that.
So you can't eat the food because you cooked it all at once, Flying Burrito, and you can't listen to the music because you made it. What do you do for fun, actually, Adam?
Oh, I don't tend to have too much fun as of late. We play shows, and that's really enjoyable. And that's
you don't have much fun? Travis, do you do anything for fun at all?
Just work and play shows. I mean, I don't like work, but play shows.
You don't work?
No, I do work, but
you don't. When you say you don't like, you mean you don't work?
Yeah.
Or yes. You don't like work?
I do not like work. I like playing guitar.
What do you do for work that you don't like?
I'm a jeweler for a big jeweler here.
Mm-hmm. Can't say which one.
No.
Not after you said you don't like it.
No.
Okay, so we can have a guess. Is it Adler's?
No.
Can't say. No, not Adler's. I don't know any more.
She wouldn't be very happy if she.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Well, you make stuff for Mignon Faget. That's impressive, actually.
Oh, no.
I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, being a jeweler is something quite. I mean, it's a specialist craft. Aren't you proud of
it? It used to be. It's now a factory job.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, the work is dependent on the machines that you use.
But is there no art in it at all?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, no, there is.
So are you being modest and self-deprecating?
I'm just over it.
Sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's better than, like, delivering mail, maybe, or something, out in the cold or heat.
It's easy and low impact.
Yeah.
And I can listen to music all day long.
That's cool. Yeah. And do they let you smoke weed?
No comment.
No comment. So they don't let you, but you managed to get away with it anyway. So that's good news. What are you listening to mostly while you're working then?
Lately, I just bought a Wolf Parade album. And I just bought an album from a band called Alt-J from England that I really like.
At least you're buying stuff, right?
I am
not
buying
stealing.
I was thinking the same thing.
Everybody else in the band makes fun of me, but I actually enjoy buying things from artists that I like.
Rather than stealing music, which is, of course, you know.
Plus, I'm always worried that the ripped versions aren't going to sound the same.
And you, Adam, you just steal it?
No, I actually do buy albums, but I will download them and listen to them first.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, you don't buy it. Where do you steal stuff from now? I mean, I'm serious for a minute, actually. Where do you steal
music?
We are
not allowed to mention that. Tony,
you don't steal music off the internet, do you?
No, I'm really in the back dark ages when it comes to, you know, getting my entertainment
upload?
There.
Mega Upload was actually from New Zealand, right? That was a big...
The guy lived there.
Guy.com or something?
No, he was Asian or something.
But that was just like a massive, like, server.
Yeah, it's like YouTube, but you could upload like a full length.
Oh, really? You can get a full album. Mega Upload is where people steal stuff from now.
I think he's in jail.
I tend to go to the Pirate Bay.
Pirate Bay?
Yep.
Cherry, you must listen to a lot of music. I mean, you need music to take your clothes off too.
Yeah,
it's an art form.
Music is pretty much my entire life. I can't play an instrument. I mean, I can play the tambourine, I guess. But
well, that's an instrument.
Yeah,
don't be so hard on yourself. Come on,
but
you're a musician.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, I'm really picky about music because you have to be when you're performing. You have to be able to have the beat or have it fit your particular song or routine that you're doing.
Yeah, well, that's everything.
So music is always going on, and every time I hear a song that I like, I'm like, oh, I could do that, and I write it down. So there's a lot of random pieces of paper floating around my house with random songs on it.
What sort of music are you looking for? Something, is it meant to be romantic or like rhythmic? Or?
We usually, for a lot of classic burlesque, we use a lot of like classic jazz and blues songs. Sometimes you can find a new way of song that's harkened back to the jazzy, bluesy era, but we use a lot of those for classic. Neo-burlesque, which is new wave burlesque, is basically anything and everything. You know, you have a lot of rock songs, or you can use some pop songs or dance. I've even seen people do techno. You know, it's basically a mix, and we do a lot of mixing of our songs too, like cutting and editing on Audacity and stuff like that. We fade in, fade out. Yeah, fade in, fade out.
So you're a PC person. You don't use a Mac.
I don't use a Mac. I have had people trying to convert me over to Mac.
What kind of people are they?
Mac people.
Yeah, Mac people. I mean, I have an iPhone, but I mean, I other than that, I have a PC at home. It was what I got for college. So,
do you have a Twitter? Are you still using the computer you got in college?
I am. It is really old, but yeah, it still works. My laptop working. Still works perfectly. Yeah, I do have a Twitter, and I use it.
What are you on Twitter?
That's what she said.
I have to talk to you after.
Yeah.
I will totally tweet for you. Just tell me what to tweet.
That's a good idea. Have someone do it for you, like a publicist.
I need a surrogate in the worst ways.
This is gonna cost
you. Tony,
you
need someone.
I have a sister.
I absolutely need. You have a sister?
Yeah. Yeah. I will.
You have a sister? Did you say?
Yes.
She's not doing shit. There's nothing on your Twitter account. I'm the second follower.
I will.
It's New Orleans
for a price.
I was doing some research about you today, and I thought I'll see if you have a Twitter account. And only one person has followed you, Sundog.
I'll follow you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And it's
I'll
New Orleans was
right
the second.
Now.
So now anyone listening to this could help out.
Please follow. What is it? Is there?
It's Madanauts.
Madanauts.
Madanauts. Like astronauts.
Okay. Madanauts.
You didn't even know that, of course. Well, that could be a bit of an impediment to posting anything.
Should I tell them mine, too?
Yes. It's
okay. Follow me on Twitter at Cherry Brown. The Brown has two N's at the end. So it's Cherry. Brownn.
Okay, that's to differentiate yourself from Cherry Brown, the other person.
Yeah, from everybody else who apparently stole my name. Yeah.
Is that your real name, by the way?
It is not, but it's what everybody calls me.
Right.
Some people don't even know it's not my real name.
Well,
I've had
it sounds
people that
like it could be a real name.
Yeah, and that's another reason I picked it, because you always get asked like why you picked a certain name for your burlesque thing, and I picked mine because you can get to know Cherry Brown. Like Cherry Brown, like. There's some names out there that are like so weird or long or kitschy that you're like, oh, that's not a real name, because you can tell because it's such a play on words. And it's wonderful, but I wanted to pick something that you could, you can get to know Cherry Brown. Like, you know Cherry Brown on stage and you know Cherry Brown off stage.
Could Tubby DuVernay get to know Cherry Brown?
Sure. And just listening to you, I'm realizing the power of the written word again, because I know your performance has got to be beautiful and seductive. But I think if you wrote down, or if I know it's been taped, I should just crib it off the tape. But the way you described the burlesque and the taking off each garment, I think it's awful seductive in the written word, too.
It is, and it's got to be powerful for that, too, because when we put out press releases or we talk to people that we're trying to network with in other places, they'll ask us those same questions, and you can't show them all the time. I mean, we have YouTube and something like that, but you can't always show them, or you're on the phone with them, and you can't always like show them what you do. So you have to be able to use your words in order to express what you do. So you have to be, a linguist in some way.
Tubby has clients like Cherry Brown,
mm-hmm.
who are often in a situation where they need help, they need a lawyer, and he's the guy who can help.
Hmm.
By the way, do you ever do any of the old, I might use the word seductive again, stuff like Lena Horne or Billie Holiday?
I do a lot of Lena Horne and Billie Holiday. We use a lot of different stuff from that, like all those eras. Billie Holiday is a big one. Edith Piaf, we use, oh goodness, I can't think of anybody else. Ella Fitzgerald, and then we do a lot of blues people actually, and a lot of jazz from New Orleans. We try to use those as well.
Does this have anything to do with relationships and making doing this for a guy? Are you thinking of someone when you're doing this?
Or
a woman, I suppose.
I do have a boyfriend of 6 years. We've been together. He's my man. We've been together for a while, and he's a musician as well. So that's another reason why music's always in the house. But when it comes to being on stage, honestly, we all think of things different, but I've learned, and I picked it up in a book somewhere, and I don't remember where it was, but there was one quote in there that was about photo shoots, and it was talking about when you're trying to be sexy, don't think of sexy, and don't look like you're trying to be sexy, because then it's just going to come off forced. You got to think of the base root of it, and you've got to think of sex. So you think of the base root of being sexy, and you think of sex, and that's what brings out all of the carnal and primitive womanliness to burlesque.
So you're on stage thinking about fucking somebody?
Carnal and primitive womanliness.
I mean, I don't mean to...
Well, I am not... Well, I mean...
When you say sex, what are we talking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the empowerment. Because, I mean, when you have sex, you feel powerful. You feel empowered and passionate and assertive in every way. Whether it be, guy or girl, you feel good after you have sex or when you're having sex. I'm sure everybody at this table thinks that. So, I mean, there are certain things that you think of, and it's just that power. You don't think of fucking somebody, but you think of the power of what you feel like when you have sex, how elated you feel, how powerful you feel, how you know, sexy you feel in the way of, like, you know, this person wants me, and the audience gives you love. They shout, and they yell, and they cheer, and they clap, and...
So this is acting you're talking about.
It is being on stage.
Because I can't bring that to mind, that feeling right now. Can you guys sitting around the table, can you just think about that?
If she keeps talking, I
think. I'll agree with that.
I'm so glad this is a round table. it is a form of acting. And, you know, there is dance and routine. And we do rehearse our routines over and over again. But once you hit that stage... Just like musicians, you could rehearse and rehearse in your home over and over again. But once you hit that stage, the crowd and everything giving you their love and their energy, you feed off of that and you just go back and forth. So you give them more love and they give you more love. So it is acting in a way, but it's very improvisational, because even though you rehearse the routines, depending on the crowd... will depend on how long you take off the stocking or how like...
So you're up there by yourself.
Sometimes, yeah, we do have group numbers or duets or trios.
But if you've rehearsed this to a song, you have to get to the end of the song, at the end of the act, at the end of the song.
Yeah,
so you can't milk it too much.
No, you can't milk it too much, but there are certain things that you could milk a little bit longer and then cut things shorter as you continue.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, it's a very fast-paced, like you might see us on stage and be like, oh, she just knows, but we are constantly in our minds thinking of the next step. You know, while still trying to sell that this is just effortless on stage.
Right.
So that's the fine line you walk.
I'm trying to sell that right now.
Is the effortlessness to the process of what's coming next.
Right. Tanya, how did you get to want to photograph these women doing this?
I got hit up. I've got friends of mine that run a international online magazine called burlesque.com. And they came down for Mardi Gras and knew that I had started my venture into photography again and asked me to be their NOLA photographer. So I started off with that and just fell in love with it and ended up adding a writer to it.
Why did you fall in love with it?
It's the empowerment.
As a woman?
It's absolutely.
But you didn't want to do it?
No.
Why not?
Wow. I have performed in the past. I've done theater. I've done a lot of musical theater. I have 3 kids.
Okay. How old are they?
20, 14, and 13.
Okay. So what's that?
I'm just thinking that's
They can look after themselves, right? They can cook their own dinner while you're out.
They actually can. That's
okay, so
what they're doing right now.
They're doing it now while you're out taking your clothes off.
While I'm not talking about burlesque.
Or sticking, making your own pasties.
There are burlesque performers that have kids, so I mean, that's not necessarily the thing, I guess.
Well, you're thinking that you're too old for it because you've got grown kids.
Dude, I'm over 40.
Okay. So there's an A. Is there a... Cherry, is there an age cutoff for this sort of thing?
If some people think there is an age cutoff.
But is there, though?
No.
No, so
there is
Tanya,
actually
you
women.
Could do it.
Yeah. I could.
She could. I mean, and
you know what? My talents are better served as a photographer.
She's an amazing photographer.
Could I do it?
There is
burlesque. There are men burlesque dancers.
Adam,
there
is a
they're fantastic.
There's a
Tony
they really
are.
Head,
they
absolutely.
Are.
There's amazing burlesque performers. It's called Boylesque.
Okay. Boylesque. Now that's good.
And
you can't get a novel out of this.
They are amazing.
Do they wear
there's some of them do.
Some of them do.
They go back. There's the stage door Johnny's.
That's got to be a pretty large pasty.
No,
not
that.
There.
Not there. No,
they wear
G-strings there.
But the pasties, they put like tassels on them? And
they can sometimes. Sometimes they feel
sometimes
the need to.
Sometimes it's just black masking tape and an X.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. There's the Stage Door Johnnies, which are really amazing. Ray Gunn and Bazooka Joe.
Bazooka Joe and Jetador.
Jetador. And over in Portland, we have the King of Burlesque, which is Russell Bruner. And he came down and performed with us just recently, and he is amazing. But there's a lot of growing.
What's his name? Russell Bruner.
Russell Bruner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
they're really fantastic.
There's a lot of male burlesque performers that are breaking in that are doing some amazing work. They again make their own costumes. They do amazing routines, and it's basically just as flawless and amazing as female burlesque. They are right up with us. It's amazing. Some of them even excel what I could do.
Tanya, where do we see you? Well, first of all, where do you take the photos? You go out every time there's a burlesque show?
Not every time, because then I would never be home.
Right.
There's a lot of burlesque in the city, and I think a lot of people don't realize it. There's, you know, like Sherry had mentioned before, there's slow burn burlesque, there's bust out burlesque, there's fleur de tis, there's Storyville starlets. There's also some queerlesque in town as well for, you know, the alternative community, if you will. There's just a lot out there.
What is queerlesque? That's
queerlesque.
Yeah, but what is that? Is it?
It's all basically.
I know what you're saying. It's like the gay community. What's the difference
lesbian
between
and bi community?
What's the difference between gay, lesbian, and bi? What's the difference between burlesque for a gay person doing it or a straight
not.
Person?
They tend to make it that they do drag king stuff or drag queen stuff. Like they have them come and perform. I mean, they come and perform with regular burlesque shows too, but they've decided to make it its own thing. Its own entity where they do it for like, you know, decadence and Pride Day and stuff like that. And they also perform.
Are they taking it seriously though?
They are. Absolutely. And they perform at the Bourbon Pub every Tuesday night. They have a drag king and stuff like that show, and they do a lot of the different decadence and gay pride things down here. They work with that a lot.
Just about any night of the week, if you wanted to catch a burlesque show, you could.
And is this happening specifically in New Orleans, or is this all across America?
There's a lot of burlesque in other cities, in Portland and Seattle, San Francisco, New York especially. Mm-hmm. Dallas has got a good burlesque scene. Houston is just building one up. Mm-hmm. It's
Florida's
everywhere.
Got a great one.
Alabama.
St. Louis actually has
St. Louis
one.
Is huge.
Is
there
a sociological or some sort of reason for this going on
the
now?
The revival?
Yeah, what's the reason?
It just all of a sudden popped back up. I mean, like amazing people started doing it again, and I think really because people started harkening back to nostalgia, like, you know, you see a lot of people for the 1920s and 50s, like style.
The whole pinup thing.
The pinup thing.
Retro.
Came right back out, and everybody loved that. And
you think it's because we've gone so far one way that we're like, you know, you can basically anybody who's over the age of three can download a pornographic movie off the internet.
I think
there's
it
no
is.
Secrets.
I,
there's
well,
no
and
mystery.
That's the whole beauty behind burlesque is that it's not so much sexual in your face.
Right.
It's much
no
more.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah.
I guess sometimes it could be sexual in your face, but
that,
no, it's
that's what I'm getting at. I mean, wonder if it's because we've come so far that people want to return to some sort of mystery.
I definitely think it has. Like, people are looking for that edge of mystique because, I mean, you don't see it in a lot of women nowadays. Like, you see everything and you're just like, well, there's nothing for my imagination. It's leaving things to the imagination. I think people's brains want to be able to see the imagination, and the pinup stuff that's come out has been really helpful for all of that. And it's just this resurgence, and there's so many women that have been like, oh, that's what I've been wanting to do with my career. And it's exploded everywhere.
Wow. Okay. That's a good reason. Guys, we're going to have to move out of here in a minute, but before we go, I thought we'd might try to talk you into playing one more song.
Twist their arms.
Come on. You can put the beer down anywhere you want. Okay. So, excuse me. What are you thinking of playing?
Espionage?
Yes.
Espionage, this is off the album?
Yes, this is another song off the album, which actually was originally acoustic in the first place, and we kind of amped it up.
So we're going to go back to the original version?
Yeah. Which we're not used to, so we're probably fucked this up pretty bad.
Let's just move things around a little bit. Oh, my
God. I can't do that. Sorry.
I hear you.
I
think yours went off.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay.
Ready? 2, 3, 4. And you'll write it all right down. Say it with a look, but you won't say it once out loud. For me, at least, when I lie. Write it off as right, but you know that I lied to you, and that's okay, 'cause you like mysteries. and that's the truth. When we find hidden spies, know them, we use them for feeding light to the other side. Giving you the truth with false addendum, and in case they fail to see the context, there's footnotes at the back where you pulled up. Eyes cast down, in cities it's reflection, in solitude it's sound that gives. Now I'm only fighting to see you again. If I keep this war sustained, then we have more time to spend. 'Cause I cannot for the outcome. I fight not to win, but to maintain contact in case you given. And it's deceiving, and it is trite. But if it isn't wrong, it must be right. So I am leaving, and I am gone. And if you're reading this, they have won.
If you're reading this, they've won. That's kind of unsettling, actually, that song. Would you agree, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
I would, yes.
Yeah, that was a sort of unsettling sort of a vibe altogether.
And on
that, I wasn't
that
expecting that. I think it's probably good.
Magnificent, artsy, dropout achievers.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
good description. You could put that on your
Twitter
feed.
Yeah, it's that a good thing this Jerry, is recorded because we'd forget.
Jerry will write that for you.
I will write that down for you.
Yeah.
So, I'll follow Friday, you guys, on Twitter. Okay, I'm going to have to probably explain what Follow Friday is, don't I?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know what is Follow Friday.
Follow Friday on Twitter is when you basically hashtag all of the, you put in, not hashtag, but hashtag FF Follow Friday, and then you put in all the Twitter people that you feel like other people should follow.
Oh, okay, so it sends messages to, mm-hmm. Okay.
So all of my followers will see that and say, okay, I'm going to go follow them.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we should all do that for you tomorrow.
I'll do the same.
Thank you.
So we started off with 2 Twitter followers today.
We'll see what we can build you up to.
Yeah, maybe between all our Twitter followers, you know, Tony, you're next.
I need help.
You
need as well.
Yes.
Okay. We'll follow Friday.
We'll FF. Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we've come to the end of our show here. That's happy hour for another day down here at the Collins Hotel. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This has been a fabulous show. My guests sitting around the table today at Happy Hour have been Tonya Armbrust, Cherry Brown, Tony Dunbar, and the band Martyr. Individually, Jonathan Talbot has been sitting over here in the background. Adam Del Negro and Travis Stewart have been joining us at the table. The food today came from Juan's Flying Burrito on South Carlton Avenue and the Lower Garden District on Magazine Street. Our show is produced by Melinda Hawes, Graham DuPonty, Trish Kaufman, and Anoush Karun. Our associate producer and technical director, and looking up, what was his name? Sean Piku on Facebook?
Sean Michael Piku.
It was Chris Kehoe. Christian Unruh is our music director who discovered this fabulous band, Marta, who joined us today. Our web designer and link to the real world is Dr. Cliff Brigden. Mitch Foreman plays all the music here. Well, except the stuff you played. He's playing the stuff on the piano. He wrote the theme song and he's playing it now. If you'd like to be on our show and you can stay upright for approximately 60 minutes, drop us a line. Our address is on our website, itsneworleans.com. Show's recorded live today at the Collins Hotel. You can check out our other happy hour shows on our website, along with our other shows, including Out to Lunch with Peter Ricciuti, Mindset with psychiatrist Dr. Nick Pajic, True to the Game with the fabulous Chris True and Tammy Nelson, and Win Win, our show about the New Orleans Vietnamese community with Steve Wynn and Q Wynn. You can keep up with us by liking It's New Orleans on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at It's New Orleans. You can sign up for one of our mailing lists, too, on our website. If you're listening to this show on iTunes, thanks for subscribing to us. If you take a moment to rate and review us, that helps other people find us. Happy Hour is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com. For everybody here around the table on Happy Hour and everybody back in the office at INO Broadcasting, I'm Grant Morris. Thanks for joining us on Happy Hour. We'll see you again next time.
See you later.
Thank you.